This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a new perspective on the immigration issue. It's actually not new. It's one of those perspectives that has been there ever since they began talking about immigration reform back in the 1980s. But that has to do with a path to legalization. In other words, yes, you can say that you're going to deport 14 million people who are living here in the United States, but that's a very expensive process. That's what President Trump wants to do. We'll be speaking with Karen Tumulty of the Washington Post on a perspective to this issue that is very seldom discussed, but needs to be. And we will also bring you the very latest from Oakland, California, where Nicole Shanahan, the just-announced running mate for Robert Kennedy Jr., she's running for vice president, and she's sounding like this to a very enthusiastic crowd listening to her.
Every time my dad lost his job, our family just couldn't cover expenses. Food, gas, clothing, upkeep. It adds up more than you have in this situation. I know a lot of Americans know exactly what that's like, to just be one misfortune away from disaster. I don't think we would have made it without food stamps and government help. My mom worked hard, but it wouldn't have been possible to keep it together without that help. As you probably know, I became very wealthy later on in life, but my roots in Oakland taught me many things I have never forgotten. That the purpose of wealth is to help those in need. That's what it's for. And I want to bring that back to politics too. That is the purpose of privilege. I went to St. Mary's High School, just a few miles from here. In my junior year, we have some St. Mary's Panthers here. In my junior year, I had another formative experience. And that set me up for this lifetime of political consciousness. I applied for a program to live with families in El Salvador. In praying with these families and helping them rebuild after the civil war there, I learned what war really is. I learned how it rips lives apart, it brutalizes children, how it visits unspeakable horror on the innocent. And I also learned the resilience of the human spirit and its infinite capacity to heal, to forgive, and to restore. El Salvador is where I came to understand war, but more importantly is where I also came to understand peace. That is what inspired me to my first political action in high school. At the onset of the Iraq War, I became an anti-war activist. If I'm being honest, I didn't really know how to do it. I printed pamphlets and I led a walkout and we went to our local radio station. But I knew in my bones then that violence begets more violence. I'd seen what that does to society, and I didn't want my country, the country I love so dearly, to be doing that in the world. Yeah. So these are two of my political convictions I hold today. To serve peace and to help those in poverty. So you can understand why I gravitated to the Democratic Party. Because that was supposed to be the party of peace, the party of compassion. Many Democrats, we still believe in those ideals, but unfortunately, as an institution, it has lost its way.
In any event, this becomes clear why the people are assuming that the ticket of Kennedy and Shanahan, by the way, two very Irish names there on the ticket, not balanced in that way, though on her mother's side, the mother of Nicole Shanahan is a Chinese American. In any event, it says she runs a foundation focused on reproductive rights, criminal justice, and the environment. Before backing Kennedy's independent bid, this is from the Wall Street Journal, Shanahan had previously been a donor to Democratic campaigns, including supporting Joe Biden's election in 2020. Kennedy was slated to announce his choice today in Oakland, which he just did. And basically, Nicole Shanahan introducing herself to Americans who really don't know anything about her. But clearly, when she's emphasizing the issues of poverty and war from a peacenik perspective, this is probably not aimed at taking voters away from Donald Trump. It's aimed at taking voters away from Joe Biden. And who knows what this situation is going to be. It's a long campaign. And I can imagine Nicole Shanahan being a feisty competitor from somebody else who is from the East Bay, from Oakland, Berkeley in California, who is Kamala Harris, who is also going to be, if they qualify for debates, and I think they will, you'd have Nicole Shanahan, Kamala Harris, and who? And it does seem likely that there will be a little bit more of a push that President Trump should select one of the conservative women that he is considering for his campaign, at least according to all reports. Meanwhile, the report on what the United States did yesterday, there's a terrific editorial that appeared in Wall Street Journal under the heading Biden Abstains on Israel and Hamas. And they write in the journal, in his State of the Union address, President Biden made a promise to the families of U.S. hostages held by Hamas. Quote, "We will not rest until we bring their loved ones home." At the United Nations yesterday, he undermined that pledge. The U.S. withheld its veto and abstained as the U.N. Security Council passed a resolution that demanded a ceasefire in Gaza, but didn't make the ceasefire contingent on Hamas releasing its 134 hostages. That condition, on which the U.S. had previously insisted, has been dropped. The reactions to the resolution tell the real story. Hamas welcomed it, and Russia, China, and Algeria voted for it, while Israel called it a clear departure from the consistent U.S. position, declaring that it gives Hamas hope that international pressure will force Israel to accept a ceasefire without the release of our hostages. Israel also canceled some high-level meetings. They were high-level meetings where they were sending over personal representatives of Prime Minister Netanyahu to meet with personal representatives of President Biden, not happening. Biden officials pushed the line that the resolution is non-binding and Israel is overreacting. Yet this is how Mr. Biden has turned against Israel, one half step at a time. We will get to more on that. Also, what is going on with essential workers who are undocumented in this country? Karen Tumulty of the Washington Post joining us on the MedVet Show. We'll be right back. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Michael Medved show, joined by Karen Tumulty, rejoined. She's been on our show before. She's an associate editor and a columnist for the Washington Post. And in her previous role as a national political correspondent for the Post, she received the Toner Prize for Excellence in Political Reporting. And I was particularly struck by what seems to me a necessary piece, which has the headline, "The U.S. is failing millions of undocumented essential workers." Now, we're not talking now, Karen Tumulty, when you're talking about essential workers who happen to be undocumented. You're not talking about people who are released from insane asylums or prisons or who come across the border and commit crimes or are smuggling fentanyl. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about people who, in most cases, have been in this country for a long time, who have built families here, who have built communities here. But what really came into focus for me on a recent trip to California was how many of those people were doing jobs that were classified as essential work during the COVID epidemic. These were people who were cleaning hospitals and who were keeping the food chain going. And, they didn't have the choice of not going to work. These were not people who could do their jobs by Zoom. I mean, they were out there basically risking their lives in that pandemic because their jobs had been deemed essential. It is estimated that there were upwards of 5 million essential workers who did not have permanent legal status in this country.
And so what do you say, because I believe that in the presidential campaign, one of the leading candidates, and I think everybody knows which one, is in favor of deporting all of the undocumented. And one of the points that I've been making on the air, and I know people are very uncomfortable with it, but it's a point that needs to be made. Deportation is a very expensive process, is it not?
Well, it is indeed. And right now there is, in this country, a fairly severe labor shortage in a lot of industries. So if you deport these people, you also get the question of, and who's going to do the jobs that they have been doing?
Well, especially if they're essential jobs, farm workers are also counted as essential labor, are they not?
That's right. And I was out in California covering the Senate race and was at an event that Adam Schiff was at. And I was struck by a young man, a 20-year-old college student born in this country who was looking forward to casting his first vote in the California primary. But he had grown up in the Central Valley of California, where a quarter of the country's food comes from. And he was he had always known that his undocumented parents were kind of living in the shadows, but it was really during the pandemic that he said that my parents never had the day off. They had to keep working every day and basically risk their lives to keep the country fed. And so he asked, how can these essential workers in this country not be given the opportunity to legalize their status? And I must say that question, which was one I had never really thought seriously about, sort of stuck with me.
You are talking about this issue of undocumented workers here in the country, do you use the standard figure that I have heard recently, which is that there are about 11 million people in that situation?
Yeah, but I think, that is an estimate. It's probably as good as any, but, it's hard to tell precisely what is accurate. But, yeah, the 11 million, though, is a number that I think we've been looking at using for a decade at least. And so my hunch is it's bigger than that now.
Okay, so when people talk about a path to citizenship, they are not talking about, quote, amnesty, just saying that, oh, someone's lived here for a period of time, so, okay, let's give them legal status. There's a great deal of hard work, paperwork, fees, inspections of your record to make sure that you haven't taken any benefits to which you're not entitled, to make sure you have no criminal record. All of those things would stand in the way of a path to legal status, would they not?
They would. It would be a long process. But people need to separate this issue from what they see, the chaos going on the border every day. Again, these are people who have been here for a long time. A million essential workers are dreamers, people who were brought to this country as small children by their parents. And I think there is a lot of sympathy for giving that. They are already, these are people who are already contributing to the country economically, socially, and I think there's a lot of sympathy for, again, bringing them into our system. And this is not something, however, that Republicans or Democrats are talking about as they are trying to negotiate this failed border deal that failed a few weeks back in the Senate.
Now, and as I take it, Karen, are you from California originally?
I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I grew up 150 miles from the Mexican border.
So no one's talking here about, quote, open borders, because border security, I know, is important to you, and it's important to the country. What we're talking about is what happens to people who have lived here for a long time and actually made, in many cases, positive contributions as essential workers. Well, what would the process look like to grant a path to legal status?
Well, there's a piece of legislation on the Hill that was introduced by Alex Padilla, the California senator. And basically, again, it would require background checks. It would require, you know, applications. It would be a fairly long process. But again, it would be bringing people into the system.
And can you hang with us for a few minutes more, because we want to speak a little bit more about the broader issue of immigration and border security, which are related issues but two very different issues. We will be right back with Karen Tumulty of The Washington Post.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. President Biden says the federal government will cover the costs of rebuilding Baltimore's Key Bridge, which collapsed following a collision with a cargo ship overnight.
We're going to spend all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency.
Biden called the event a tragic accident and said there's no evidence to suggest any deliberate wrongdoing. Following its debut on Wall Street Tuesday morning under the ticker symbol DJT, shares in former President Trump's social media company surged by over 50%. Reports indicate that Trump's net worth skyrocketed to $6.5 billion following the surge in stock price. For the time being, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been spared extradition to the U.S., where he faces charges related to spying. A court in London made that ruling Tuesday, stipulating that the U.S. government must furnish a set of assurances within 3 weeks regarding Assange's First Amendment rights. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
There's a moving piece in the Washington Post by Karen Tumulty, who's our guest. Karen is an associate editor and a columnist for the Post. Her piece is about people who were declared essential workers during the pandemic and who still don't have a path as much as they want. I mean, what people are looking for, and I think this is so important when people look at the situation, they're not looking for a handout. These are people who are working full-time or classified as essential labor, doing literally jobs that other people wouldn't do and weren't supposed to do in some cases during the pandemic, but who want to become legal residents of the United States, and maybe ultimately after you become a legal resident, then you go through a 5-year process and pass an exam that most native-born Americans couldn't pass, about what it means to be an American. Karen, we were talking before about this whole idea of immigration reform. Why is it so important that border security go together with some kind of action or change regarding these essential workers who are undocumented?
Well, because I think you just turn on the TV every day and see what's going on. I mean, there is absolute chaos at the border, and it is creating incredible stress on cities, on communities along the border. But I do think that is a very, very separate issue. I mean, these are two parts of a broken immigration system that I think both need to be considered, because you know, we do need these workers, and we all found out how badly we needed these workers during COVID. And again, there is legislation which would allow people, if they do a job that was classified by the Department of Homeland Security or state and local government as essential, being able to apply for a green card, undergo a background check, and, you know, just sort of start the process.
And that process includes, again, basically having English language skills and basic knowledge about what America is, how it works, how we are different from other countries, maybe the countries from which people came. The idea that this has to go together with what would really be a restructuring of the whole asylum system and the whole system for entering the United States, it's a natural combination of efforts, wouldn't it be?
Yes, and, you know, we did see in 1986, which was the last time there was a rewrite, a major rewrite of immigration law, that those elements were taken together. Although, interestingly, and I'm old enough to have covered that bill, the controversial part of that bill was that employers, for the first time, would be penalized for hiring people who weren't here legally. And that part of it, which, by the way, would have been a great deterrent, that part of it was never enforced, because it was, you know, putting a burden on companies.
And that was, you were talking about the Simpson-Mazzoli Act, which President Reagan was very proud to promote and to sign. And, again, I know that he always said that the problem with the bill was it wasn't enforced. They didn't enforce the elements that were supposed to regulate the people that you were able to hire. And was that simply a political thing, that it was politically inconvenient to go after some of these large businesses that were knowingly hiring illegals?
I think so. And at the time, there was really, there were not a lot of good ways, foolproof ways of checking somebody's legal status. Now there is systems like E-Verify, which very, very few firms in this country actually use. So the technology has improved a bit, but I do think it's still, you know, it's still, employers have a lot more political power than their workers do.
You mentioned Senator Padilla. Senator Padilla was, I believe he was Secretary of State in California, and then when Kamala Harris became Vice President, he took her Senate seat, or he was appointed to her Senate seat. Are there other leaders in the House or the Senate who have expressed any kind of concern at all for the situation you're talking about?
His co-sponsor on this bill, his lead co-sponsor is Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. And then in the House, there is a companion bill sponsored by Ted Lieu of California and Joaquin Castro of Texas. But these bills are just going nowhere at this point because, you know, so much of the debate now is around, begins and ends with border security.
And okay, so to extend the conversation a little bit, one of the things that people always bring up is that if you grant a path to legal status, even if it's a very rigorous path that demands that you pay fees and you go through this background check and you can certify all sorts of things about yourself, and plus being able to pass the citizenship exams, It all seems to many people like that would simply encourage more people simply to cross the border and come into the United States without authorization and take advantage of the next, and I put this in quotes, amnesty.
And, you know, the fact is that was also a criticism of the 1986 legislation, which did which did grant a very big amnesty program. Millions of people were legalized and on their way to citizenship. So, yes, that is one of the criticisms. But the fact is, I mean, you look at this country demographically, and we're going to need more people, whether it's to fill important jobs or, you know, to pay into the Social Security system and the Medicare system and, you know, to sort of keep the country. Immigrants make a huge contribution economically. So beyond whatever moral obligation they might have, I think there's a very practical consideration, too.
And in terms of the cost to the taxpayer, well, again, this is worth reading about and talking about. And Karen Tumulty's column, which is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com, is a good place to start. Karen, appreciate your joining us on the show, and I hope people will check out what she has to say at michaelmedved.com. Coming back, there's more on what people are calling a betrayal by the Biden administration of its commitment to Israel in its existential struggle against the monstrous and genocidal terrorists in Hamas. How has the United States actually changed its commitment? We will get to that and to the political ramifications of such a switch. That and more coming up on the MedVed Show. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft, Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, we were speaking earlier in the show about an editorial in the Wall Street Journal about Biden abstaining on Israel and Hamas. An abstention vote in the Security Council, especially when their own resolution, America's own resolution that was drafted by the Biden administration and put before the Security Council, that got the majority of votes in the Security Council. It got, I believe, 11 of the 15 votes in the Security Council, but then it was vetoed by negative votes by Russia and China, and then they had an additional negative vote from Algeria. This resolution, which was introduced with the approval of Hamas, because it basically would have been to require Israel's surrender. Well, it's Israel's declaration of a lost war and failure to achieve its primary war goals and war aims. What's fascinating about this, as we mentioned on the show before, they just did a very major Pew Research Institute study of American attitudes toward what is going on in Gaza. The most striking thing about this poll is that most Americans don't follow it very closely. They don't really have a sense of what's going on. However, 6 out of 10 Americans, is 60%, believe that Israel is fighting the war on a valid basis. Far fewer people, less than 1 out of 5, believe that Hamas is fighting the war on a valid basis. In any event, President Biden's initial support, this is the Wall Street Journal, for a pause to free hostages morphed over time into Friday's U.S. resolution for an immediate sustained ceasefire. The new resolution uses Ramadan as a fig leaf to sneak in a lasting ceasefire that would let Hamas survive. Mr. Biden's initial support for destroying Hamas has faded, such that Vice President Kamala Harris now refuses to rule out consequences should Israel invade Hamas's last stronghold of Rafah. Administration leaks about international isolation and weapons embargoes drive home the point. And then the editors of National Review have also written about what they call Biden's shameful betrayal of Israel at the UN. And they write in National Review, by allowing the United Nations Security Council to pass a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, while Hamas remains in power and still holds 134 hostages, the Biden administration has shamefully betrayed a key ally while empowering a terrorist group committed to its destruction. President Biden has been getting increasingly bellicose in his rhetoric against Israel in recent weeks, particularly when it comes to Israeli plans to finish the job against Hamas by invading Rafah in southern Gaza. Over the weekend, the administration dispatched Vice President Kamala Harris to ABC to again chastise the planned Israeli offensive, claiming laughably that she had studied the maps and decided that Israel's plan to evacuate civilians from the area wasn't feasible. Up until this point, however, despite criticisms, the Biden administration has been willing to use the U.S. veto at the U.N. Security Council to shoot down any ceasefire resolutions. On Monday, the administration abandoned that policy instead of standing up against international bullies. The U.S. abstained, allowing a despicable resolution to pass. Now, part of this is, it goes along with apparently what has become a very popular joke in Israel, is they're saying, well, who knew? Now Biden is in favor of a two-state solution, and the two states are Michigan and Arizona. Basically meaning that he is looking at key swing states in his drive for re-election, rather than looking at a resolution of what has been a tremendously costly war. And again, this is not to compare the death and destruction on the side that has started the war, which is Hamas. And what's remarkable to me, again, is this poll that was put forward by the Pew Research Institute that showed that, yes, you had nearly two-thirds of Americans who believe that Israel's basis for fighting the war is valid, and valid is the word they used. But there still showed to be nearly a third of Americans who thought that Israel had no valid reason to fight this war, which is just inconceivable to me. Did America have a valid reason to go to war against Japan? They attacked us. They killed nearly 3,000 Americans at Pearl Harbor. And then, by the way, and 4 days later, Hitler declared war on us. We had done nothing against Hitler. We never declared war on him. He declared war on the United States in one of the Fuhrer's two-hour speeches to the Reichstag. I mean, that's what the valid reason to go to war, when somebody else declares war on you and attacks you and announces that our purpose is to destroy you. What do you do? In other words, is war ever a valid response? Well, it has to be, otherwise you don't continue to exist as a nation state. And you don't keep a covenant, and that's what it is, with your own people, who are relying on their leaders and their institutions, including, yes, very much the military and security institutions and intelligence institutions, to keep you safe from atrocities like that massacre that killed 1,200 people on October 7th. And the idea that that Israel can keep its pledge to its own people, that is a very deep critic of the Netanyahu government, could basically say, okay, we've smacked a lot of the capacity of Hamas to launch another invasion, but we are allowing the leadership and several battalions
of terrorists to remain, because they're in Rafah, and the United States is very concerned, as is much of the rest of the world, about further unnecessary destruction. That unnecessary destruction can stop as soon as there is a return of the hostages and some kind of surrender or evacuation or declaration of a change in Hamas's essence, which is very unlikely to happen. But again, given the fact that these are people who glorify killing and suicide, of course it's unlikely to happen. And meanwhile, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which is usually very careful about criticizing elected politicians, called out AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, about her claim that genocide was going on in Gaza. Again, terms occupation and genocide to deal with an entity that has been self-governing since 2005 with no Israeli presence at all in Gaza itself, that's a very different situation. Coming up on the Medved Show, we'll be talking about the latest in the politics back and forth, some of it involving that intersection of politics and media, with Ronna McDaniel, former Republican chair, being basically bounced, so the reports go, from NBC News. That and more, plus results of new polls on swing states in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Gruska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.